was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Booble's take about Black Sheep being better than Tommy Boy is an interesting one. Interesting one. We'll get into that later. All right. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromny. Tweet at us if you still use Twitter, whatever. We are live right now on twitch.tv/abrog87. I see the two of you who always watch us. Thank you for watching us. More people should watch us. Check us out. We record every Thursday at 7:30-ish, depending. Also on YouTube when the video part of the Twitch stream decides to work and upload. And also on, you know, we podcast, whatever. You know where we are. Let's see. So a lot of stuff happening this week. A lot of it in the NFL with free agency opening yesterday. The Ducks beat UC Irvine yesterday. March Madness officially started today. I mean, the playing games were yesterday as well. But a big day yesterday, oddly enough. World Baseball Classic, which I know we're all just dialed into. Actually, like, it's funny because we talk shit about it. And I believe all of us kicked the World Baseball Classic a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. And I've actually been paying attention to it a little bit. It's kind of weird.
I put something in the Discord about how the viewership for the Japan-Korea game was more than any World Series in the last, like, 30 years for that one game.
Like, we might be the only country in the world who doesn't care about it. Because the other ones really care about it.
No, I don't think Canada cares about it much, to be honest.
That's fair. Or Israel. I don't know how locked in Israel is.
I think Poland's out there running out, like, shoemakers and, you know, cobblers and, you know, garbage men. That's their team. They don't have professional players. Yeah.
I forget what team it was, but they all introduce themselves and what they do for a living, and most of them are baseball coaches. They're like, yeah, well, I happen to be a coach here for one of our random teams, and so, hey, I'm also one of the players.
And I'm surprised on the post, because I remember when, like, the World Baseball Classic first came out.
Cobblers, dude.
Cobblers, yeah. I remember when the first iteration of the World Baseball Classic, it was like you had to be like 1/10 of something. I remember people with just like Italian sounding last names were playing for Team Italy. It's like I could probably play for the Polish team purely just because of my last name. It's like I'm like 5% like Polish. I could play on that team just because of my name.
Yeah,
I think you could also play for the Israeli team.
Yeah,
Israeli,
yeah. I was going to say, like, a bunch of 23andMe's just to be eligible to play in the World Baseball Classic. Was Jock Peterson on the
Israel? He was on Team Israel.
Yeah, he was, yeah. I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, I didn't know he was Jewish. Huh.
Was like, yeah, but I remember the first one. I was like, the only way Marco Scudero was making one of these teams was playing on Team Italy. Like, he wasn't making the U.S. team.
No. By the way, the U.S.
I mean,
roster?
That goes... Yeah. That goes on in all sports. I mean, like, Ben Gordon went to the basketball Olympics by playing for England because somewhere down the line, someone was from Great Britain, and he was absolutely never making the American team.
Great, absolutely terrible Great Britain uniforms, as Booble points out. Like, easily.
Yes, they're very.
I said, they look like a California Penal League jersey.
They really do. They really do.
But my favorite part of it is you look at the Dutch team, there is no white guys on the Dutch team. Everyone's from Aruba and all the other islands that, you know, the Dutch controlled. It's like, why would the Dutch have controlled these, you know, Caribbean islands? It's like they're all slave trade islands.
The colonialism would...
I mean, Sidney Ponsone was from Aruba.
Who was?
Sidney Ponsone. Very white.
That is true.
Very white.
By the way, like, the U.S. roster, besides pitching, is very good. And they should be dominating people, even though they really haven't so far.
that's where it goes to who cares, because Japan trots out the three, like, probably best pitchers in this tournament on their team because they cared. You know, the U.S. should have, you know, Scherzer, DeGrom, Verlander. I mean, there's a lot of arms out there that are just like, we're good.
A lot of those names, by the way, a lot of those names could be playing on other teams as well. Scherzer and Verlander, I'm just saying. Should they be on the USA team? I don't know.
I did enjoy how Justin Verlander's brother was like, oh, the U.S. team will never win the WBC unless our best pitchers are playing. And everyone's like, hey, guy, you know the guy whose coattails you're riding on this media thing? Your brother? He is not pitching. Yeah. He declined the offer.
I understand. Verlander's like 40. I get it. You don't need. Yeah. He doesn't have that many more pitches left in his arm.
But here's the thing. Is he going to throw? He's going to throw less pitches in the WBC.
Yeah, you're
than
limited.
He could in the Grapefruit League. You're definitely. Like, you're not throwing any more pitches.
Yeah, like, why not just bring in all these starters, like these elite starters, and just pitch them out of the bullpen?
Like, oh, because they can't do it. It's so hard. I can't come in the third inning with no one on and no balls and no strikes. It just mentally wrecks me. American pitchers are the worst.
Starting pitchers are the softest athletes in the world.
But even American closers are like, wait, you want me to come in the ninth with no outs and someone on first? I can't do it. I'm coming out of the stretch.
No.
Can't do it.
Won't do it. I'm just saying, man. Like,
America does baseball terribly.
How many innings are you going to pitch in fucking spring ball anyways? Like two or three?
Right, like right now?
Yeah.
You're throwing about four innings right now, four or five innings. You're starting to ramp up a little bit.
More than you would throw in the WBC.
Do it for your country, you cowards.
Right.
Jeez. Soft. Yeah.
Ben Sheets was in the WBC. Get over yourself, Justin Verlander.
Did you see who the U.S. is like trotting out as starters?
No, I haven't watched the U.S. game.
Adam Wainwright and Lance Lynn.
Ooh. I thought Adam Wainwright was a coach. He's a pitcher?
He's a pitcher. Yeah. He started
retired?
The very first. I don't think so.
I think he's retired. I think him and like one of the Molina brothers, right? They retired like the last day of the season in St. Louis last year, right? They threw a pitch, they retired. Adam Wainwright has to be retired. He pitched in like the 2005 World Series. He cannot still be doing it.
Game one starter for the USAT.
Who is it in the Discord who said Adam Wayne wrong? I wanted to give him a high five. That was very good. So, I mean, that's the reason the U.S. might not win and probably won't win. It's just because their pitching's bad. But their hitting is very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Dominican team, though. Their lineup was stacked. They don't have any pitching. They got bounced.
Yeah. So that's probably about to happen. I mean, they win 3-2.
I mean, but they got bounced by Puerto Rico. I mean,
yeah,
Mexico or Canada or Great Britain. They're not walking into Chase Bank Ballpark in downtown Phoenix and knocking out the Americans.
No one does.
You don't just walk into Chase Bank Ballpark and knock out Mike Trout and the Americans.
So they play Venezuela next. Cuba and Japan are already in the Final Four. So that's happening.
Yeah, it's Japan's to lose.
All right, so you guys watched the Ducks yesterday? I think you said you weren't, right, King?
I watched like 5 minutes.
5 minutes, just of it. Yeah, okay.
It was accident.
I mean, the whole thing, even though Oregon won, the whole thing was just difficult to watch. Like, I mean, so Oregon was without Dante Richardson and Cousinard already. So
two of them matter, but yeah.
So the thought was that they, yeah, Fair enough. The thought was that they might actually lose and might actually lose by a lot because they already lost to UC Irvine this year. But then they just fucking run away from them early. And UC Irvine couldn't shoot. And so, like, the game was already tough to watch because no Dante and Cousinard. And then the fact that Oregon was just dominating them the whole game, it was like, ah, boy. Woof.
That was – how did you lose to that team?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. It was the exact opposite of the way this game went. Because, like, Oregon shot 43% from three-point range, and Irvine shot 17. So that's King what Oregon did.
King put up the box score from the starters from that game, and it's like, yeah, Dante had, you know, 20-9. Next score, I believe the score had, like, six.
Six.
It's like, that's
it was
why.
Like Gabe Reichel.
Yeah.
For some reason, instead of continuing it to give it to the big guy who can't be stopped, they all decided to just chuck, and nobody made a fucking three that entire game.
It was on, but I wasn't like fully watching it.
Yeah.
It pissed me off though from what I saw. It's like, oh, you know, Soares all of a sudden is hitting threes now. You know, the ball movement looks better.
Ain't that it's a like, bitch?
Where the fuck was this all season?
Well, somebody was owning the basketball and dribbling a whole bunch and not doing anything productive. So while they were injured, apparently.
I'm going to throw a little shade at Dana then, too. He's got to let him play a little more freely.
Stop.
Dana's offense is so boring, and I can understand why it leads to not scoring points.
They had one game in the NIT where some scrubs hit threes. You sound like a Blazer fan. Wait a minute. Did you not see Wenyen Gabriel in Memphis? What's Terry Stotts doing? What is Chauncey Billups doing? Give Wenyen the ball. It doesn't. Come on, man.
Give Lockwer the ball, or however you pronounce his name.
Hey, since we're on this,
I think you're right.
Since we're on this, I will break down some statistics.
Ooh, numbers.
Some Oregon shooting statistics. In 2021, they went to the Sweet 16. They ran into USC, who owned them. They just did in 2021. They owned them. They had the Mobley brothers. Oregon won the Pac-12, but USC was a terrible matchup. In 2021, Oregon shot 38.4% from three. First
on the season?
In the Pac-12. Yep. First in the Pac-12. Last year, Oregon shot 34%. This year, Oregon shot 31% from three. Their worst percentage in 20 years. And when I say the worst percentage in 20 years, just think back to the Luke years where they were shooting, which was about 20 years ago, right? They're about now, where they were shooting from the high school line. So this dates back to when Oregon was shooting from the high school line, and they shot 31% this year.
Was that Uptown Tarek Brown?
Ooh. I'm just saying, listen, like, if you want to say Will dribbled too much, okay, whatever. No one on the team can shoot. Like,
no, they cannot.
Soares isn't going to do this consistently. 31%, worst in 20 years. The worst in Dana Altman's coaching career dating back to Kansas State in the mid-80s. Where the three-point line didn't really exist, so it's not really even applicable.
Do you say applicable?
I say applicable. I'm an applicable guy. Okay, two versus one. You lose. I was just trying to drop some shooting stats on you.
By the way, nice Uptown Tarek Brown drop. JV baseball coach, South Eugene.
Uptown, baby. Yeah. Uptown, baby.
Tarek Brown and the Rogers brothers. That was a hell of a year of baseball.
I was trying to think of a chucker from like early 2000s, and he came to mind. I mean, well, I could have gone Tuan. I mean, he's the ultimate.
Who was Fat Lever's kid on the Oregon team? Oh, I can't remember his name. Fat Lever had a kid early 2000s. His last name wasn't Lever, but I can't remember. Lever.
Google says Chamberlain Aguchi.
No, it was before that. Short James Davis? Was James Davis Fat Lever's kid?
I don't think so.
Talk amongst yourselves.
No, but I agree that, I mean, we saw it early. This was the worst shooting team we've seen. But then, in fact, that Dana centers the offense around them making shots like that. I mean, I always said Guerrier has no business being on the court. And especially the second half of the season, I don't see why Will was playing 35 minutes a night. These guys can't shoot. You got to have something else. I don't know. He stayed with it. But beat Washington and they're in. You know, they were right there. But
right, they were a dumb win away from
being in the tournament.
But I will say my big criticism of Dana this year, and it kind of extends to even like Arizona, is your best player, and someone's going to say, oh, Purdue with Zach Edey. Okay, he's 7-4. They're not winning the title. Someone's going to hit 14 threes, and Zach Edey is going to be eliminated. But your best player cannot be like an Afaligante or like Arizona where it's Tabellis and whoever the other guy is, where they're like traditional centers. Dante was awesome this year. Like, he was dominant, but it's math. It's two versus threes. Like, you can't be posting up guys anymore. It's not a thing.
I saw a stat about the last 20 national champions. You have to be in the, I think it was the top 35 in defense and the top 25 in offense. So these teams like Virginia losing today, Syracuse, you know, the one time Syracuse won the title, their offenses were good. You had to have an offense to go with that defense.
Do you want to hear an amazing Virginia stat?
I hate Virginia, so yes, I hope it's a negative one.
So since 2018, they have been a one seed, a one seed, a four seed, I think a six seed, and then 2020 was canceled. So 1-1-4-4, canceled. So we're talking 18, 19, 21, 22, 23, 5 years, right? They've won. The University of Virginia has won six NCAA tournament games in the last five tournaments. All six of them were in 2019. Every other year, they've lost in the first round as a 1, a 1, a 4, and a 4. And then I forget what the other one is, like a 7 or something.
Yeah.
So not as egregious. But a 1, a 1, a 4. No, what? And
what? Like I said, that system works for a long season. People are going to get tired. You'll grind these games down. You'll win 20 plus games. You'll get in. Tournaments are different like this. Teams will make some shots, and you have to make shots to win.
And they just...
And they can't. They're pathetic.
Well, and that's why, like, when... So Oregon lost to Virginia the year they won the championship in 2019, the Sweet 16. And that game was so hard to watch. We're not going to spend much time on this. But it was so hard to watch. I was like, oh, my God, if someone other than Pritchard could just shoot a three.
Yes.
Oh, my God, they're going to win. And they just only had Pritchard, which was tough.
I'm currently watching one of these games with Houston against Northern Kentucky, 36-41 with like 10 minutes left.
And because both of you guys are wearing that hat, I watched that game at a bar in Oakland. So it's all coming together.
Town business. Is it Anthony Pedroza? I came up with Anthony Lever as well, but he also...
No.
I don't know. That's what I'm finding.
Am I thinking of Alex English? I don't know.
You might be thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Since he played at Oregon, it was like late 90s, early 2000s.
It was early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was able to find. Now we're all going to look for it. So we are watching the tourney today, yes. I have it on right now. I had it on. I had to go into the office today, had my laptop next to me, had it on while I was working. Just... on all day long. The big ones today, obviously Arizona losing to Princeton and Furman beating Virginia. So those are the upsets. There's games going on right now as we're, you know, talking and recording this. But those are the big ones. I much like Joe Biden, will get to sleep my way through the rest of this tournament because I picked Arizona to win the whole thing, which was probably dumb. Well, I mean, it is dumb now, but, you know, I haven't watched college basketball this year. You know, this might be the least educated I've ever been when going through a bracket, but I still thought Arizona was good, and apparently they're not. So,
no, the crazy thing is, I think they were like sixth in the country in scoring, and they score 50 some odd points,
55,
and they're lost today. Yeah,
the double nickel. Yep, they got outscored like 9-0 towards the end. Princeton won by 4.
So lost to a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, they did.
Is the thing.
It's a very classic college basketball tournament game, by the way. Like Princeton from back in the day, Arizona from back in the day. Arizona has still been good while Princeton has not. And then suddenly this happens. And then Furman beating Virginia on essentially a buzzer beater. It's like with a couple seconds left. Yeah.
Virginia gave them the ball to shoot the three, too. That was fantastic.
Yep. Classic.
I, if I'm a Virginia fan, I'm in the same boat as we are Oregon fans Clark. That guy needs to go.
Get the fuck out of here. I think you overlooked who Fat Lever's kid is.
Okay.
It's Anthony Lever.
No, that's what I said. I found like two different versions of it. So Anthony Lever was one, but I also saw like Anthony Pedroza, and I was like,
had a different name. He had a different name at Oregon. Maybe his
Anthony Pedroza is not it. It's a black and white picture with Anthony Pedroza.
Yeah, it's okay. Not him.
I got nothing.
But it wasn't. I don't think it was Lever the whole time. I feel like he changed it, but to it.
You know what? This information is not on the internet. Did Fat Lever wipe all record of his son from the internet? It's not on his Wikipedia. He's got no family history on his Wikipedia whatsoever. Is there a conspiracy?
You got to go just scroll old Oregon rosters is what you got
to
do.
I gotta go through the microfiche to be able to find out who Fat Lever's kid is. Where's Rob Mosley when you need him? Rob, who's Fat Lever's kid?
You can't get in touch with him, but one of us.
I had it on my stuff, and now it's just suddenly gone. Man, the Fat Lever conspiracy strikes again. Okay, so UCLA is playing right now. They're winning by a whole bunch. Arizona State play tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
And then who else? USC?
Today?
USC plays tomorrow too, right?
USC's tomorrow as well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so got tomorrow for the rest of the Pac-12 schools.
I love how an Anthony Lever Google search just shows a lot of Anthony Peeler and Anthony Mason for the Bucks. I don't understand what the hell is going on.
I'm saying, dude, he's wiped from the internet. Fat Lever's kid never existed.
This is insane. This has got to be a deep dive.
Is this like a Mandela effect thing or something?
This is crazy.
This is...
This can't be real. I think I found one.
Can't be real. All right, let's get into some NFL, because the big thing has obviously been Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. That has not actually happened yet. One tends to think it will happen just because there's been so much talk about it. But
well, the Packers are just trying to get maximum value for it.
Yes,
is what they're trying to. That's all that's holding it up right now.
I mean, the Jets already signed Lazard. Rodgers gives them a list of dudes he wants to sign, most of which are like in their mid 30s wide receivers. Like Randall Cobb, dude, I know you're best friends with Randall Cobb. He hasn't been good in 8 years, my guy.
Who's the other one? Like Mercedes Lewis?
Mercedes
Is that
Lewis?
Like the other guy never looked at?
Speaking of guys who retired, didn't Mercedes Lewis retire?
No, he's like a legit PFF favorite for blocking tight ends.
Of course he is. Of course. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they'll do it because they want to make Rodgers happy. It's what the Packers have been doing the last 4 or 5 years, and it's why they never fucking won anything. because they kept signing guys Rodgers told them to sign who are not actually good at football. Unbelievable.
That Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, I saw, good for him. Like, Pat McAfee show got like 500,000 people watching it at the same time, which has been monetized into that like 20-minute, you know, thing made him, you know, the valuation was $1 million. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers. I think he's done. And I think even before last year when he sucked, the last two playoff games he's played, or two, I'm like, throw the ball downfield. Like, giving Colin Cowherd credit is kind of tough because he's Colin Cowherd. But he's been on this thing where Aaron Rodgers protects his QBR and all this stuff by not taking risks. And in the playoff last, I was like, oh my God, he doesn't throw the ball more than 7 yards down the field. What the hell is going on?
Is Aaron Rodgers the NBA player that holds onto the ball and then shoots it from half court, like
after the buzzer?
After it hits double zero? Does he want to save that
100%. 100%.
And it's weird because, like, as you get older as a quarterback, you expect to not do this sort of thing, but he has had a tendency to lock onto guys a lot. Like, I remember the playoff game against...
He hasn't had people, though, at least.
No, but
he had Adams. That was it. You lock onto him.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, even then, like, if he sees something before the play starts, he's going to that thing. And defenses are like, okay, well, we're just going to show him something, and then when the play starts, we'll go to something else. And it fucks him up. Like, he's an NFL MVP. He's been in the league forever. Like, that's not supposed to mess you up. But
is he like a 3-time MVP?
Yeah, man.
More?
Yeah.
More?
Yes.
No, three.
He's an NFL Hall of Famer. And he has been bad. Like, really not good. So, I mean, good on the Jets, man. Make a move. Because the Jets need to make moves. If they're going to get any excitement about their team whatsoever that's actually real, and they need to do this.
And they have a top 5 defense.
They do.
You can't have Zach Wilson out there for a season.
Really good defense. They have a really good running back if he comes back healthy.
Because running games matter so much in the NFL.
Yeah. Look at running backs. Look at running backs here in this free agent market.
They matter a lot in the playoffs.
I know. Like, I watch my team who like only runs the ball, and then I'm like, oh, this is great, this is great. And then you get in the playoffs and face teams who only throw the ball, and it's like, oh, I kind of wish they did that. you guys, do what Mahomes is doing.
No, like, listen, like the Shanahan run scheme is great. I'm not saying it's not, but
right.
Once you get in the playoffs. Sometimes handing it off to Eliza Mitchell just isn't quite the thing.
You have to play a perfect game if that's going to be your style, and that's very hard to do against really good teams. So, yeah. So let's see. Who actually got signed in free agency? So I'll start. So we'll start with our three teams. So, King, your Chiefs, you signed Juwan Taylor to play left tackle. Yes, left tackle.
Because he's
replacing Orlando Brown. Who signed with somebody else?
The Bengals.
Bengals, right? Yeah. So
it's a weird signing because the money's pretty equal.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I don't quite get. Maybe there's a medical flag or something on Orlando Brown. I don't know.
I figured it because the Chiefs were going to try to go get Tunsil and put him on the left and put the other guy on the right.
Yeah,
that's what made sense to me when the signing came. I was like, oh, that's good, because everything I was reading was like, oh, they're good. Chiefs are locked in on Tunsil. Like, yeah,
but it works in on the, if you guys are curious, at Michael Safino, Michael Salfano, who set Twitter ablaze yesterday by saying, as I wrote on 538, the Chiefs are an absolute joke with analytics and player evaluations and drafts and trades, but they have the quarterback and a genius play caller, so it doesn't matter. But we don't have to pretend they're good or smart.
What? Okay, leave the good part out. Fuck out of here with that.
I mean, I mean, they had like five rookies starting on defense this year, and they won the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying they were even that great. I'm just saying.
Miss me with all of it.
Miss me. Yeah. And then I realized when I saw that yesterday, and then I saw it today, he's a Jets fan. So now he's.
I was gonna say, who's he right for is a question.
It's like he's like one of those guys. This isn't. I'm not doing this as like a besmirching, but he's one of those guys that's like written for The Athletic, PFF, CBS, like he's a contributor.
So he's like not, you. I mean, you're a Deadspin contributor. So
I am. I
mean,
but when I looked at his feed today, he's like, are the Jets the most hated team in the NFL because they developed players and then went out and got an elite quarterback? The answer is yes. Are they?
Who cares about the Jets?
Who hates the Jets?
I mean, this Garrett Wilson guy. Yeah. Did the Jets really develop Garrett Wilson? I mean, get over yourself, Jets. Aaron Rodgers, loser.
Jets fans will be the most annoying fan base in football next year. I can already see it coming. It's going to be so brutal. And then the real question is, if Jets fans think they're the most hated, who is actually the most hated NFL team?
By the way, like before we get to that, like the media around the Jets is going to be way worse than anything else. Just, I mean, we've seen what happens with the Jets when they have any talking point whatsoever. Like Brett Favre, like the same fucking deal. It's all we talk about is Brett Favre. All we're going to talk about is Aaron Rodgers this year. It's like, ugh, they better win. Otherwise, it's going to piss me off because nobody's going to want to hear about him. I'm sorry. So you said who's the most hated team?
Most hated now, yeah.
It's still the Cowboys.
It has to be.
But they've been so bad.
It doesn't matter.
You know, a lot of people don't like my team. Like, I've been hearing that the last few years. A lot of people don't like the 49ers. And I'm like, really? I mean, I get it. I guess you grew up with
them. I think people don't like Niner fans. It's like Seahawks. Like, I hated the Seahawks fans way more than I actually hated the Seahawks. I hated Russell Wilson, but the team as a whole, I hated the fans way more than the Seahawks
That's a good point. I never, by the way, it's a rivalry for the Niners. I've never hated the Seahawks. Like, the Seahawks had, like, great players. I hate playing the Seahawks because they had Russell Wilson and they'd always fucking win these insane games. And the fans are the worst. The absolute worst. Like, they have their name on the back of their fucking jerseys. They write jerseys with a 12 and
fan, 12 fan, baby.
And fan on the back. Get out of here. Like, leave. Go root for another sport. Jesus Christ, that's sad, man. No, you're right. And they make me hate the team, which is a shame.
Exactly.
Because the team has, you know, genuinely good players over the years.
But on the flip side of that, I fucking hate the Patriots. Like, I don't mind Pats fans. They could get fucking annoying. They just say, oh, championships and stuff. But I fucking hate the Patriots team. It's the same reason I hate the fucking Devil Rays team. The teams I just fucking hate. I hate them.
The Devil Rays.
You hate the Devil Rays?
I hate Tampa.
They're not even the Devil. They haven't been the Devil Rays for two decades.
I hated them even when they're.
It's Vinny Castilla.
They're bullshit fucking Moneyball style. They get like 2,000 fucking fans in the stadium. They always beat the fucking Sox. They're fucking annoying. We're going to throw an opener, not a starter. Get the fuck out of here, Rays. I hate you.
Just glad my NFL team is super likable.
Never heard anybody talk shit about the Rays before.
Hate the Rays. They're so annoying.
Google says Devil Rays legend Wade Boggs. Yeah.
Absolutely. That team was great. Canseco, Vinny Castillo, Wade Boggs.
Was Paul Sorrento on there?
Paul Sorrento? Oh, man.
What a team.
They probably had some sick pitchers, too. I can't remember the pitchers, but that lineup was sick.
Levon Hernandez? Or was that later?
No, that was Marlins.
I really cannot think of a Tampa Bay Rays pitcher.
I'm just gonna look up 1999 Tampa Bay Rays just for the hell of it.
I need to hear at least one Rays pitcher come out of it.
Am I wrong? Like, did the Marlins and the Rays have like the same uniforms during that era? Like, were they the same team? Like, they had like the gray with like the random orange and blue colors on
no,
them?
The Marlins were
pinstriped or that teal. Ooh,
yeah, black, silver, and teal.
Touche.
Yeah, the Rays had that.
Was Steve Traxel ever a Devil Ray?
There's a good chance.
Steve Traxel felt like a Devil Ray.
Let's just say yes.
I feel like Andy Bennis was on that original Rays.
Andy Beans.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thinking about them beans.
Steve Traxel.
Oh my God. This can't be. This cannot be real. 1999 Tampa Bay Devil Rays pitchers: Dave Island, Bobby Witt, Corey Lytle. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Did you not see that building?
That's a good question.
Norm Charlton.
Norm Charlton.
I mean, I know you're probably a big Bobby Witt.
Roberto
fan
Hernandez.
Yeah.
Esteban Yan, Tony Saunders.
Did that Rays team have the pitcher that had like seven fingers, or was that guy with
that
the,
was a
just
Marlin?
The Marlins?
I think that was a Marlin.
Yeah.
We cannot separate those two, man.
It's
Marlins, Rays, same team. Don't care.
Oh, Aaron Ledesma was their shortstop. Oh, Aaron Ledesma.
This is a really good idea.
DeFelice behind the dish.
This is a really good idea that Bubble just gave us in the chat. So, like, he doesn't suggest this, but I'm suggesting that we do it during the summer or something like that, where we just randomly pick a baseball team from the 90s and you just read their roster.
Oh, Kevin Stocker.
Oh, Stocker.
Oh.
Tell me Dave Magadan was on that team.
Dave Magadan was not on the 99 Rays.
He might have been a Marlin, actually.
Jeff Conine, for sure.
By the way, I legitimately really like that idea.
Tony Graffanino. Oh, my God. We got a Tony Graffanino. All right, we're going to save this for the summer.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I like that idea. 90s teams baseball.
I love that. Booble says 97 Texas Rangers.
No!
Don't tempt us. Don't tempt us.
I got to look up one.
We need one 97 Texas Ranger. At least one.
Juan Gonzalez.
It's a tease.
Ruben Sierra.
Wilson Heredia.
Ruben Sierra had like the most insane non like traditional swing ever. Like, so maybe not ever. I mean, he had teammates who had weirder swings than he did, but like he was so wild and did not follow any sort of baseball teaching whatsoever. He just swing with one arm as hard as he possibly could with weird
Ruben footwork. Ruben Sierra looked like a guy that's right-handed. But he's like, I'm just going to hit left-handed.
Yeah.
And he just swings as hard as he can with his right arm.
With his right arm only. Yep. And like his foot, like his lead foot would go behind him somehow.
Huge leg kick.
Amazing. Yep.
Him and Julio Franco on that Rangers team can ask for weirder fucking stances and swings.
Amazing. All right. So thank you.
The 97 Rangers had a Tanya Sturts.
Had what?
Who doesn't? A Tanyan Sturts.
Of course they did.
Eventual Tampa Bay Devil Ray, Tanyan Sturts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That is getting pushed to the summer. Thank you for the idea. That's good work. That's good work, listeners/viewers. Let's get back to football, though, because there is a little bit more to talk about before we get to, like, keeper kick.
Come on, white guy. Fuck. Yeah. I'm going to be watching this game for the next 2 minutes. You guys go ahead.
Ski does not like white people. Let it be established.
I need a bucket from Northern Kentucky here with 2 minutes left.
Northern Kentucky.
The Norsemen.
All right. I just switched over to that one. So thank you for that. So, you're talking about point spread?
No, total point. I need Northern Kentucky's total score for the team was set at 51 points.
So they need one.
Come on, white guy. I need 1 point.
Make it.
Just get a bucket.
Oh,
don't jack threes.
Wide open threes.
All right.
I'm rooting for your money, man.
Did you guys see the Dan Orlovsky tweet last night?
I did not.
I did.
about how he uses the same towel out of the shower for 30 days.
That's insane.
Here's a question to you guys. Are you a one towel or a two towel person?
Dude.
Yeah. Look at the hair, man. He's got a hair towel.
I've got a hair towel.
Yeah. So define what you mean by two towels, Ski.
So
we don't have flowing locks like King. So what do you mean by that?
So when you get out of the shower, do you just grab one towel and dry your entire body down with that one said towel?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes. See, I use two towels. I got my junk towel. I dry my junk and ass off with one towel, and one is my upper body and face and hair towel.
What? You're drying your face?
Well, my hair, you know, you get out of the shower, you're sopping wet in your hair and stuff. You wrap one around the waist, and the other one you start drying your upper half with.
See, so you don't actually clean your private parts is what I'm hearing.
I wash my balls thoroughly.
Apparently not enough to be confident to just dry your back off with it.
Yeah, good to know, man. Good to know.
It's the same thing with,
are you taking a towel and going deep in your anus to get it dry?
I'm not doing the like between the legs shimmy where you like floss your asshole with it. No, I mean, I'm not doing that.
You know, we're,
do people actually do, is that an actual maneuver that people do?
I'm just wondering, because people seem to be, some people seem like they're so scared. It's like, oh my gosh, this towel touched my butt cheek. If it touches my back, am I gay? Am I gay? Is this going to turn me gay?
Fox News told me that is true.
I know. It's out there. I'm not saying that it's like, it's out there. Tucker Carlson.
I was going to say,
and has done many a piece on this.
That's a Tucker Carlson take right there. You know what this is telling us about Ski and about people who are averse to having a towel touch their ass and then dry the rest of their body. I think we know what Ski doesn't do, if you're catching my drift. Ski agrees. Ski vehemently agrees. Ski, yeah, it's 52, by the way. Northern Kentucky.
I just got it.
You got your points. You know what Ski doesn't do?
I guess the question is, do you guys just like air dry your balls?
No.
Because you get out of the shower, first thing is I wrap a towel around, and then I take the other one, you know, and start. So if you got one towel, I assume you dry from, you know, head to toe, right? From top to bottom?
You know what I'm not going to let you do, Ski? I'm not going to let you make something that everybody does that is perfectly normal, that using one fucking towel to dry your whole body, and I'm not going to let you make that into something dirty. I'm not.
You're up for a promotion. Go buy a fucking second towel and get with the, you know, a sophisticated people how they dry themselves off after a shower.
A second towel. The only people who use two towels are people like King, who have long hair, and they need to wrap a towel around their hair, and then they dry the rest of their body with the towel, man.
I come out of the shower looking like Erykah Badu, in a spring dress.
And he dries on and on.
My towel is from the breast down, then I have a big old head wrap. You know?
on and on. Dries himself from hair to dong.
But what was so amazing about this tweet from Dan Orlovsky, and it actually kind of tied into a Jemele Hill tweet
30
like 2 weeks
times?
Ago.
30.
Well, yes, before the 30 times, because we can all agree that's disgusting.
That's gross. Yeah.
Is guys are like, oh my God, people shower and they touch their balls with their towel? And I'm like, guy, you beat off in the shower.
What am I, dude?
What are we doing here, man? I'm not saying you want to rub everything on your face, but like, oh my God, you're gonna touch your nipples with something your dick touched? You're eating sushi with something with some Irish Spring. Like, get over it.
So yeah, and again, like as I was alluding to with Ski, it's like you're telling me you've never put your face in the private parts of another human being before. Like, we're talking about your clean junk that you have just dried off. So you're telling me you're getting all weird about it in that regard? Come on now. Come on, homie. Come on, homie.
It's not. No, it's the double-edged sword
ski,
as well. Because
Ski is waffling right now, man.
Oh, he got the right cross and the left. He's sitting in the corner. He's stumbling.
he's like Creed in the movie we watched last week, man. He got his ass knocked out. He's done.
Get yourself a second towel.
I have plenty of towel. Why do I need a second towel to wipe my nipples? They're nipples. I don't care. Hey, Kate, when you take a shower, how many towels do you use? Do you wipe your face or your balls first?
It's a valid question.
It's a valid question.
You don't want what on your face? Okay. What are your balls clean? Are you sure?
It's important.
So what does it matter?
It's important.
Well, here's a question. Is your asshole ever really clean?
Yes, people eat the groceries and survive, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Barely.
So that's it's a very important question. It's a very important question for people who are in relationships and stuff. You got to keep it clean. You have to.
Okay, so we're here. We are here.
Part of the process.
We're here.
Here we
are. Do you guys shave your buttholes?
I would never put a razor or anything near my butthole.
I don't, personally.
Do you shave your balls?
Shave as in, like...
A razor?
Maybe. Oh, no.
So you have a thicket on your sack?
No, you... Sponsor us Manscaped. You get a little clippers and go... Zoop,
okay.
And trim that shit down. Put a fucking razor near my balls.
I love this conversation. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Isn't that a double standard, though?
What was it, Austin Powers, where he's like, there's nothing more glorious than a well-shorn sack? Isn't that what
he said? I'm just saying, like, as men, isn't there a double standard there that we have?
1,000%.
Where they have to be, you know, maybe not like day of shaved. It's got to be
cleaning it up,
taken care of.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's...
But we could have Splash Mountains, you know, where you go down the log and there's, you know, the thicket above you. We could have that, and that's cool, right?
I don't think that's a thing anymore, man. I think
not me. No. I mean, I'm out there with my... I'm that razor. I'm pulling that sack thick. I'm pulling it tight. And
playing
I'm
a toss. Pulling that shit tight.
Oh, that's...
Your wing batting.
That's
you're bat winging that.
Hot as hell. That's why I became a Spurs fan. Tottenham.
It's a great
joke. Then it poses the question, why don't you just go, why don't you nair that shit then?
Ooh. Nair's bad. It burns.
It's definitely not good for you, but.
Yeah.
Because then you would need another towel. Oh,
how about those Jets?
Yeah, so back to Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of well-shorn ball sacks, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Do you guys think a hairy one makes less sound than a clean-shorn one when you're... Like, just no, acoustically.
Clean-shorn definitely would make way more.
Yeah, the hair is a buffer to sound, 1,000%. It's like the black things they put on walls in studios.
Oh, geez, hey,
little egg crates.
We don't see color in this podcast, Raga. Easy there.
Yeah, seriously, erase a racism.
Booble says to put this segment in the Smithsonian.
We just survived summer 2020, and here you are,
putting
wax on the wall.
Oh, you know what?
What are we doing here?
WCP brings up a good point, though. He lives the bidet life. So,
oh, see, so do I.
Clean, butthole, clean balls.
Clean as hell.
Never something you have to worry about if you're living that bidet life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's a good point. It's,
you know, where we live, because I think WCP has a little, he's a notch above mine, where he's got the warm water. Mine's a little cold.
Oh, it's a little cold.
Yeah, that's six in the morning, Monday through Friday. That can be a little bit jarring, but.
I'll wake you up.
It does.
Who needs coffee
time
with
to
old
start the day
stream of cold water?
The best part of waking up is bidet water cold in your butt.
Cold water in your butt. Man. All right, football. Sport.
Football. Sport. Jets. Vinny Desimerti.
All right, yeah, let's run through them here. So we talked about the Chiefs technically already, I think. Let's see. The Colts signed Gardner Minshew. I think that's like it. You got Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, whatever.
And
who cares?
And Samson Ebukam. That's all your Colts got. Niners signed Javon Hargrave, which is good. They had the only weak spot of their defense was the defensive tackle spot, and they got one of the best in the entire NFL. Pro Bowler last year. Like, really, really good. So I'll take it. Like Ski and I were talking about before we started the actual recording and stuff, or before we started the stream, we were talking about how they moved a whole bunch of money around to make it so, because the Niners didn't have a lot of cap space. They had like $10 million or something. So like they gave them this huge signing bonus, added void years or whatever at the end. And he's basically getting like the veteran minimum this year in terms of what's going against the cap space. So that's how they figured that out. So I don't know, more magic. What else? Jimmy G went to the Raiders. They
needed a cube. You got to go somewhere.
Yeah, we don't need to spend much time on the Raiders.
Sure.
But they went all in last year. Devonta Adams with, Waller and Renfro and Crosby and whatever. And then they get rid of Carr, who I'm not saying is great.
Yeah, Adams is the only guy left.
And then they sign Jimmy G, and then like 2 hours later, they trade Waller, who's injured a lot. I get it, but what a weird. I've said it before. The Raiders are so lucky that like late 80s rappers were like, hey, silver and black, that's cool. Because the Raiders are a loser franchise.
Otherwise, they'd be the Jets.
Like, I honestly, we've all seen the video. The autumn wind is a pirate. That was in like 1968. Don't fucking care. Don't care about Jim Plunkett. I'm sorry. Like,
they made a Super Bowl with Gannon, didn't they?
They did, like 2002. And I think that's the last time they won a playoff game. And I think before that, the last time they won a playoff game was in like the 80s. They're a loser franchise. Yeah, the Raiders are losers.
Yes, they are. Yep.
And they've been in three cities and technically four, if you want to count the move back. The Raiders are losers. If there are any Raider fans hearing this, they're losers. Be grateful that rappers thought silver and black was cool, because your team is a bunch of losers.
Yeah, be thankful you had cool starter jackets.
Losers. Losers. And I say that as a San Jose Sharks fan who profited from that. Losers too.
That's great. All right. One more thing. NFL, I guess the Panthers traded for the first pick. So they're going to get a quarterback, I guess. So kind of an interesting.
So quickly.
So they
traded. I'm a Stroud guy. What are you?
Yeah. Which pisses me off that they're probably going to take Stroud at one.
Yeah.
Because now the Colts are going to get stuck with, I don't want anyone else. It's just Stroud. If they draft Levis, I'm done.
I don't know. I'm hearing Anthony Richardson. Just really, just really looks good in white and blue. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing.
And the problem, I do like fucking Alabama quarterback.
Bryce Young.
He's just risky being so small. Just the way he's
tiny.
He's so tiny. I didn't know what Tua and Tyler happened to them last year. A small quarterback. Dudes are big and they run fast and they hit you hard. You need a little bit of fucking meat on your body.
You gotta have big legs. Like you can be short and you can kind of be like light. You gotta have big quads.
You know who has big quads? Richardson.
He does.
He does.
He does. See, you see him against Utah? Oh, he shredded those Utes. Those him and Young are champion Utes.
Like Young football wise, is, you know, he's right there with Stroud, I think. Throwing the football, reading defenses, all that. Richardson, on the other hand, just physically is what you want from a quarterback, but he can't fucking throw a football. And I, from what I saw, him going 5 to Seattle makes sense, because then he could sit for the 2 years they just gave Geno, and maybe he could learn to throw a football in those 2 years.
Jeez, but if that's a high pick, that's a high pick for a backup quarterback, man. 5.
What did Jordan Love go? Was he first round?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was later. Yeah, in the like first 21 round,
or something. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but that's been like a 5-year backup.
I mean, Mahomes went like 11 and sat for a year.
Yeah.
5 is like, 5. You can get a really good player though. Like getting a backup
that is true, but
I don't know, man.
But the problem is they're going to be in the situation in a couple years needing a quarterback again.
Yeah, but they can figure something out in a couple years.
I wish my team was good enough to where you could draft a quarterback high and sit him for a year or two. My team is not that good.
That dude's playing right away, yeah.
Yes, whoever they get is playing right away, unless they're trying to tank another season.
So again, like the Panthers now have the first pick where they're going to get a quarterback. They traded
for DJ Stroud.
Yeah, they're going to get Stroud. So, well, you say that though. So they traded away 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and then DJ Moore, who was like their best receiver last year. So it's like, holy shit, Panthers, like, what are you doing? But then they went out and signed Miles Sanders and Hayden Hurst. So they got like the Bengals' best tight end from last year and the Eagles' best running back from last year.
So they were because they lost Dante Foreman. He went to Chicago,
and they traded away McCaffrey last year too.
You traded him McCaffrey, so they need to replace quarterback, and they had to replace all skill positions,
which they've kind of done, other than wide receiver. So you know,
kind of important for a rookie quarterback to have some competent receivers out there.
Conceivably, that's something they could still do. So you know,
I don't hate what they did. That's just like I think the Bears so far have done the best of everyone. I think
they sure as fuck overpaid for a linebacker, but they've made good moves. I mean, you get 2 firsts,
that money
to
spend, you spend it right.
Made a couple good signings. Get DJ Moore. If you're saying you're all in on the quarterback, then.
Do you guys still have TNT on your screen?
I changed to the UCLA game. I don't know if that's still actually going on.
I'm far enough away. I can't tell. Yes. Does it say the Filipino El Muasis?
It says the flipping El Muasis.
Okay. And does his new girl look exactly like his old girl?
I thought it was the same one from the corner.
That's why I was looking away. I was like, the Filipino? She's blonde and white as hell.
Are you talking about the reality show?
I guess.
That replaced it? Yeah, I just changed away from that like 2 seconds before you started. Okay. Talking.
I've never seen it before. Okay, sorry. I was so confused. That. Like, who's the Filipino?
Speaking of reality shows, that's going to be our list coming up here. Yeah. So, assuming you guys both actually did that, because we got the list right before.
What's the list?
It's top. It's top 3 reality shows you would actually sign up for.
Okay.
So start formulating. Speaking of, so Booble just mentioned XFL. He's got Houston and Seattle XFL on his screen. Do you have our XFL minute?
Okay. I don't. I was a little busy.
As
Booble let me know today, Ben DiNucci or Ben DiNucci is leading the XFL in passing at like 1,112 yards.
Some actual stats.
I was a little busy this week. I next week the XFL, you know, preview will be back.
Are those official XFL stats?
Official XFL stats.
I thought you couldn't even find XFL stats.
That's why he said it to me, because he found the XFL. So Ben DiNucci, 1,119 yards. AJ McCarron for the Battlehawks, who again turned down $5.4 million, is number three in passing in the XFL with 850 yards through four games. Paxton Lynch, 680 yards. Brett Hundley, the highest played player in the XFL, making over $1 million, 376 yards passing through 4 weeks.
That's amazing.
De'Eriq King, who some people wanted to come to Oregon like 4 years ago when he was a seventh year junior at Houston.
Oregon legend.
59 yards passing on the year.
That's great. That's enough. That's enough. We don't need more.
Stevie Montez for the Seattle Sea Dragons. Do you remember Stevie Montez? Yes,
Colorado?
Yep. 6 yards passing. One completion.
6 yards. That's great. All right, let's get to our keeper kick, huh? Do you have for that?
I got a couple of them.
Okay, let's hear.
All right, first keeper kick. Keeper kick the Blazers' new mascot, Douglas Fir.
Kick.
Yeah, Jesus. It's the same. Didn't the Sonics have the same mascot back in the day?
It just wasn't a hipster wearing. Yeah. So have you seen before? Have you seen the story of Douglas Fir?
I refuse to look into the story.
Is this new mascot Kevin Calabro?
No. So in the 80s, the Blazers had an unofficial mascot that was
the gorilla.
No. Was Bigfoot. It was a Bigfoot guy. The Sonics allegedly kind of stole it in the 80s. And it went away because it was unofficial. It never went on the court. It just roamed Memorial Coliseum, right? So that's their thing, is that it's, we've always had it. It just went away. And they had a whole thing with Ian Carmel. If you go to the Blazers, you know, official Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, whatever, they have like a 4 or 5 thing with Ian Carmel that kind of tells the story of what we now know as Douglas Fir. But they put a beanie on him and flannel. Like, it's a little, come on. Like, so
do you want to hear my theory on Douglas Fir?
Let's hear your theory.
I'd love it.
I think it is some boy toy that Jody Allen possibly got a little handsy with. They had to find a way to pay him off.
Wow.
That's an amazing pick.
That's still a little aggressive.
That makes sense to me. It's an amazing. What's the opposite of chauvinistic? That's what that is.
Skeevanistic.
Yeah. Skeevanistic.
Because there is no other reason in my mind why this thing would come out at this time of the season out of nowhere.
It's a distraction.
No, they're trying
it out. Bad team.
Yeah. Get the kids.
But you guys. So when Douglas Fir came out and the Ian Carmel story came out, you know, the videos and all that, do you guys know the story? They linked it in. Do you guys know the story of the trail cat? You guys know who the trail cat is, right?
No.
It's the Blazers mascot. Yeah, Blaze. Blaze the trail cat. Blaze.
Okay. All right.
Long story short, I forget the whole thing. Scottie Pippen adopted him and brought him to Moda, and he escaped from the pen. Literally, Scottie Pippen adopted this cat, and it became Blaze the Trail Cat. Oh, my God. If you didn't have a mascot before 2003, you just don't need one, and you don't need two.
We don't need it.
So you're saying there was just an active wild cat just lurking around Moda?
But it was was in the hills. It was in the West Hills. It was in the West Hills.
Yeah.
So from his house, it got loose. All right.
Yeah, and then he found it, at an adoption agency, and it got away, and then it grew into Blaze the Trail Cat.
There's a joke somewhere about that being Michael Jordan's son or something. I'm not gonna make that joke. I'm not gonna make it.
Just as an aside, has any like real major like 100% star? Scottie Pippen was a star. He was always the number two, no shit, bonafide star. Has any bonafide star been beat up publicly as much as Scottie Pippen?
It's his own damn fault for not tipping people, man.
I mean, his wife treats him. Well, I guess Will Smith
Will Smith.
Man, his ex dating Michael Jordan's kid now. I mean,
it's fucked up.
That is fucked up. Brutal.
It's fucked up.
Do you think it was Jordan himself, like, egging his son on?
No. No.
No.
Hey,
no.
Hey, no. So you know who's looking good nowadays?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Ugh.
So fucked up. So fucked up.
All right.
WCP said that was your Pizzagate ski. That was your...
What was? My Jody Allen?
Yeah, your Jody take? Allen take. Yep.
Got to find a way to pay Hush for me. Gotta make him earn it, at least. 4chan.
Put it on 4chan.
All right.
Ski pose.
My next one. Keeper Kick. Did you guys watch the NHL Big City Greens feed by chance?
No idea what you're talking about.
So
that was a mouthful.
So apparently there is some show on Disney called like Big City Greens.
Okay.
It's some kids show.
Yes, I know. And I know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay.
All right. So all the NHL players have some sort of little device on them when they're playing, and they linked it up to where the live game between the Capitals and someone else was being shown in this like cartoonish hockey game version.
So they're all animated. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked just like the like old NES, like NHL hockey game. You like some guy would get checked and they'd be like, you know, tumbling around and stuff like that, and hits a goal. And
there'd be a goal, and there was like confetti shooting up.
Yeah. So that was the feed on Disney for the hockey game, was this animated version of the game itself, like live of the game.
The announcers like were also animated too. So they cut the announcers and everything. Yeah.
So this was Disney's answer to Nickelodeon doing a playoff game for the NFL.
Exactly.
Right?
They just took it a step farther with actually like animating the live game.
It was all animated in the style of a cartoon that already exists on Disney Channel.
Unless Pavel Bure DVY, as I call him, and all Patrick Waugh are in it. I didn't watch. I don't know.
So that's gonna be a kick for me, but keep it in general because
that feels like that playoff baseball game that came out a few years ago. That's terrible.
But if you're the NHL, I mean, this can't hurt you. It can only potentially bring in more eyes. So.
If it gets kids into hockey, then keep it. Yeah.
I don't think you can just get into hockey, though. That's a
good
problem.
Point. It's a good point. You're not going to have like.
But
casual...
if we just get kids into hockey with the $400 skates, the $300 stick, an ice rink that we can pay to go to, you want to know what pads and 12 other people that want to do this, and we might just get a. Work.
Hockey's the most 1% sport that exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Or if you live in Canada, there's just actually a lot of hockey rinks.
But we don't live in Canada, Ski.
No, we don't.
We're not in Canada, bro.
Live in the now.
Get the net.
All right. My last one. Keeper Kick Keith Olbermann's World Baseball Classic take.
What is
it? I'm just going to kick it because it's Keith Olbermann.
He's pretty much because. It was right after the Edwin Diaz injury, the celebration injury. He said, get rid of the World Baseball Classic. No one cares. People are getting hurt now. It's worthless, essentially.
Gavin Lux, isn't he out for the year now? Didn't two Dodgers go out for the year in spring training in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, see, but my guys could get hurt in spring training just as easily as getting hurt in World Baseball Classic, so... What's the point of getting rid of it?
It's such a like. Do Americans really care about the WBC? No, we don't. But is it any more of an injury risk for pitchers than spring training? No. The MLB owners put parameters in on pitchers and all players, really, but mainly pitchers. It's. He got hurt in a celebration. If you want to be weird about it, like 2 years ago in spring training, the Mets were practicing celebrations as they went off the field. That's what like Terry Collins or whatever had them do. So you can get hurt during a celebration anywhere. Who cares?
Exactly.
Where is Olbermann giving this take?
Twitter.
I saw it on Twitter. Okay. I don't know what platform he has now. I just saw his Twitter.
He's not on a thing anymore. Is he? Okay.
No, he's too extreme now. Yeah, okay. He's too out there.
I some bar school fucking schmuck said pretty much the same thing as well. People were kind of blasting both of them.
Yeah, I did love the Barstool guy doing it. Everyone was like, hey, KFC Barstool, remember when you cheated on your wife while she was giving birth to your kid and she caught you by like location or whatever on your phone because you weren't there for the birth of your child? You're a loser. He's like, Edwin Diaz, Mets, go Mets. No, hey, KFC Barstool, remember when you cheated on your wife while she was giving birth because you're a fucking loser? Go Mets, go Mets.
Fantastic. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Let's do our list then and get the fuck out of here. We've been doing this podcast for too long. So our list comes from Booble. It is top three reality shows you would actually sign up for. Like you would actually be into. So I guess we should say other than all of the food judging shows, because being a food judge would be fantastic. I would sign up for that. That's not actually a reality show, though. So,
are we counting game shows then as reality shows?
No.
All right. Well, I'll cross one of them.
Because it's a game show, not a reality show.
It's reality.
It is not reality.
It's really happening.
It is not.
No, it isn't. All right. So who wants to start?
I'll start. You start. My number three, Bar Rescue with John Taffer. So he can come in and tell me, hey, do you expect me to come into your bar and fix this up? So I could just say, John, I've seen 7 seasons of the show. Emailed you. Yes, that's why I emailed you. So you could come in and fix my bar. That's the conceit of the whole fucking show, John. Show, number man. Three.
So I have a question. So I've never actually seen this show. I know there's like a restaurant version as well. What do you fix about a bar? There's a lot of alcoholics in the country. How bad are these places that you can't get people in to drink alcohol?
You make a black and blue, you put them in roller derby, you put the bartender girls in roller derby in roller derby outfits, and then you tweak the menu just a little bit. You don't just serve wings, you serve it with an attitude. Like Max from the Goof Troop. There's just gotta be a little bit of an attitude to it.
So is he just turning every bar into a Hooters, it sounds like?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Max from Kinda. The Goof Troop is such a great reference.
There's a little bit of attitude to the wings. They're not just barbecue. They're Asian barbecue. And look at this. Sesame seeds. Bang.
You're
Bang.
You ever see that movie? I mean, you got two boys. I assume you've seen that movie. Goofy movie. Pauly Shore plays his friend. Ugh, it's a banger. That's a banger of a movie. Let's see. My number three, I'm going to go. Let's go Extreme Makeover. Because I would like to be extremely made over. I think what I'm working with is fine. I think it's serviceable. I would like to be extremely made over, though.
How would you like to be made over?
I don't know. That's not my job.
Extremely.
Yeah. That's not
extremely.
My job.
Extremely. Yeah. If you're going to get made over, you got to get made over extremely.
Extreme.
I don't know. Give me a wig. Like, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, that's your job.
That's your job.
Tell you.
Yeah. You Fahrenheit. You figure out what I'm failing at and make it better.
All right. My number three is one that I think I could win. I would win easily if I did. It was Fear Factor.
The Joe Rogan?
The Joe Rogan, yeah.
Classic ski.
Here's the thing.
We got Pizzagate. He's on over there on 4chan.
I know, seriously.
Now he's going Rogan on
the Skigan experience. Jesus Christ. Is that why you're always wearing a hat? You got that third eye under there? Like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. I got to cover up my third eye here so you guys can't fucking
stay woke.
The Skigan experience. That's so good.
But I think you won like 50 G's from Fear Factor. It should be cake. Because here's the thing. They're not going to kill you. It's like the people walking across the thing. You're in fucking like ropes are tight. You're not going to fall to your death. What's so scary about that? I would not enjoy the most extreme ones of like guzzling horse semen. But I think that got... I don't think they aired that one because they finally took it a step too far.
Yeah, see, I think that's where everyone loses. They're like, hey, congrats on eating the tarantula. Here's 10 gallons of horse cum.
Yeah, that's...
And you can't put me in your eyes. That's cheating.
That's somebody's job. That's like a producer. That's their job on that show, is to gather 10 gallons of horse.
Procure stallion semen. Yeah.
I did. Well, on that, I did just watch the new Jackass movie. I hadn't seen it yet.
I thought he was going there with horse cum. Actually, let me tell you how easy it is to procure horse semen.
I mean, while we're on the subject,
it's just one giant swoop down into a bucket.
But
not as hard as
Jackass guy just took a swig of fucking pork of pig semen like it was nothing. Man. And I was like, whoa, all right. I guess when you're 50, that's what you go to instead of, you know, getting belted in the face with something.
Thoroughly out of ideas.
I don't know. I think I'm out on that one. That's where I'm losing.
Yeah.
I've smelled mine. I don't need to.
The viscosity just, no.
That's good. I'm good.
We're good. We're good too.
All right.
My number two.
Yeah.
Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Oh.
The best. The best. Oh. That's arguably the best reality TV show ever.
What side are you picking to be like your team there, Katie?
That one, I'm Road Rules.
You're Road Rules?
Yeah.
Wasn't Kyle Brandt on that?
He was Real World. He may have done a challenge, but.
Okay.
But yes, he was definitely a Real World guy. Okay. I think Chicago.
I thought he was
Chicago!
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Don't still make that, do they?
No. Now it's Floribama Shore and Jersey. The Jersey Shore people are doing a road trip this summer.
Oh.
Let's see. So Booble says his number three is Big Brother. WCP says his is Special Forces World's Toughest Test.
Sounds too hard.
Yeah, fuck that. That sounds like work.
Dude. I mean,
what are we talking about? Nah. Okay, my number two. Let's go F Boy Island.
Okay.
Isn't that the Nikki Glaser one?
Are you an island boy?
On HBO, F Boy.
He's an island boy.
Yo, I could be an F
Boy. Island boy.
I'd enjoy being an F Boy. Why not?
You sure you don't want to be on MILF Manor?
Oh man, I think the catch there is too gross. Though it's like you.
It is.
It might actually be your mom.
Well. I thought the catch was is like their sons are plowing other moms, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah,
the Shyamalan twist is you actually have to bone your own mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, good. I got one of these. I'm fine.
Yeah. Right. No thanks.
All right. My number two is Amazing Race. It seemed like you get to go to a lot of cool places.
And you're just
win some money.
Yeah, you know what? Amazing Race would be fun. I agree. It's not one of mine, but that would be fun.
I feel like the challenges aren't that difficult either.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go see some cool places.
Let's see. Number two is for Booble. Biggest Loser. They force you to lose weight. Okay. I guess so. WCP is Street Outlaws. I don't know what that is.
God, you guys are too
like
extreme.
I feel like that's a, like... you build a car and then you like race them against.
Okay.
Think that.
I wouldn't know what I'm doing, but okay. All right. All right. What's your one, Kang?
My number one would be a farmer who was just in the background of The Simple Life.
That's my number one. My number one is Simple Life.
Just so Paris Hilton could look at me and go, that's hot.
That's hot.
That's hot.
Wouldn't she be like, man, you're poor?
Yes. So yes, bad. But I'd be like, but whatever, you're here subsidizing my farm.
Being poor.
And I
so
think hot. That is hot.
Jesus Christ, dude, just hanging out and doing absolutely nothing. I'm in. And being rich, I'm in.
I feel like me and you guys went in complete different directions.
I want to run in the desert with scorpions in my socks, wild guzzling horse cum. And I'm like, I want to be a slot receiver on, whatever that NFL show is.
Crows versus Joes. That should be my number one.
Crows versus Joes.
My actual number one is Alone. That's the one where they dump people, like 10 people off in the middle and you gotta survive.
They drop, you in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a camera that shoots footage of yourself.
That's so no one here wants to be naked and afraid.
Naked and afraid. Those sound awful. You would purposefully sign up for those shows, Ski.
Well, that one, you win $1 million. So, yeah.
Jeez. See, like I said, Naked and Afraid, because I think that's the worst one you would want to be on as a guy. Because if you watch them, the girl is like, listen, here I am. There it is.
Yeah.
And the guy's always like, oh, man, depending on like the atmospheric pressure and the heat, like I differ a lot. Like I'm not really quite prepared. Just
yeah. Give me a couple.
What's
minutes.
The humidity where you're jumping?
I mean, it's, you know, I hate to do off, it, but it definitely is the Costanza. I was in the pool bit, you know.
No, you would get over yourself real quick if you're on that show.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think I'd always be like,
you have no choice,
looking away and doing a little like stroke and flick just to get a little blood down there,
a little shake,